Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for coming to the London Real Estate Forum. My name is Hugo Greenhouse, and I'm the rather grandly titled the wealth correspondent of the Financial Times. So on behalf of the FT, thank you again for attending this morning. We're going to be looking at technology and buildings and the tech sector in general. We will touch upon, my very reluctant panelists, the current fire that broke out this morning at Grenfell Tower, and to what extent technology, obviously the panel aren't technologists themselves, but I think we should address this question. Well, can you ever future-proof a building to a certain extent? But first off, I can introduce you to the panel. We have on my left, going down, Ria Pabari, who is the digital strategy consultant at Founders Intelligence. And then to her left, we have Toby Ogden, international partner at Cushman & Wakefield. And then at the end, Charlie Green, co-chief executive of the Office Group. Guys, thanks for joining us this morning. And Ria, do you want to kick off and give a presentation about the scene? Thank you.
So, I've been asked to talk about the technology sector, but I'm actually going to start by challenging the notion of the tech sector, because I think it can sometimes be a bit of a misnomer. And I'm going to do that by asking you what these three companies have in common. The answer is that they are all tech companies. Goldman Sachs, with 9,000 engineers, has more tech employees than Facebook. And Domino's, whose stock price has quite spectacularly outperformed that of Amazon since 2010, credits its impressive performance to its embrace of modern technology. Granted, it did improve its actual pizza in 2009, yes, but more importantly, it has continued to improve its ordering app, rolled out custom delivery cars with built-in ovens, and has now even made it possible to order a pizza with an emoji. I'm in the business of advising executives on how they can future-proof their business models and the answer always encompasses technology. The UK's digital economy is growing faster than any other sector in the economy. It is creating jobs at twice the pace of the wider economy, and this is being reflected in the square footage that the sector is occupying in the capital. So that's why it's important for the real estate industry to understand technology companies, because across all industries, tech companies are the occupiers of the future. So what makes technology companies different as occupiers? Firstly, they're challenging the status quo around how employees should interface with their physical environments. Tech companies have long been obsessed with delivering exceptional user experience. However, they're now applying that same philosophy to designing exceptional employee experience, and much of that manifests in the physical design of buildings. This is a depiction of two giant greenery-filled domes called biospheres that will be part of Amazon's new headquarters in downtown Seattle. They're designed to be a space where the public can interact with employees. Incidentally, by 2022, Amazon will be expected to occupy more than 20% of the city's total office inventory. This is a picture of Tencent's seafront towers in Shenzhen, China. Ranked as the most innovative company in China, they wanted to adapt the highly successful suburban model of the high-tech campus into an urban high-rise. The multi-story connecting bridges that you see aren't just visual aesthetics. They're designed to break down the barriers between people and teams that so often form in tall buildings. It's in these bridges where they house most of the common areas for the employees to interact and when they want to harness the power of physical social networks. This is inside Airbnb's San Francisco office, where their conference rooms are designed after different Airbnb listings. This one is based on a mushroom cabin in Aptos, California. Mark Levy, their global head of employee experience, says that they like to treat their physical space like software, continually experimenting, iterating, and upgrading. They've recently moved from an open space floor plan to what they now call a belong anywhere working environment, where employees can choose to work from the kitchen counter in the morning or from the mushroom cabin in the afternoon. The point is that providing people with habitats where they can do their best work is an area where tech companies have led the way, but where all companies will have to be more thoughtful in the future, as they'll be competing for much of the same tech talent. The second dimension where tech companies differ as occupiers is their growing demand for shorter, more flexible leases. And that's because a large portion of tech activity comes from young and entrepreneurial startups. One tech company is started in London every hour. By their very nature, startups are speculative at launch and operate under extreme uncertainty, which makes them very ill-suited to the long liabilities of traditional leases. Over the past few years, we've seen several new players enter the market to this growing demand for property as a service. However, despite the fact that co-working now accounts for 10% of all central London take-up, I personally believe that the property market is still in the early throes of adapting to this trend. And the reason I say that is not just because of the growing number of tech startups, but rather because of the technologies and the business models that these tech startups are creating. The emerging tech companies that I work with on a daily basis are fundamentally and permanently changing the future of work. Before I join my fellow panelists for discussion, I'm going to briefly touch on four technology trends that underpin the structural shift we are seeing towards shorter, more flexible leases. First up, artificial intelligence. AI is arguably the most important innovation of our time. Today, machines can grade essays and diagnose certain diseases. Over the coming years, they will be able to conduct our audits and read boilerplate from legal contracts. Yes, lawyers and accountants will still be needed for complex tax restructuring and path-breaking litigation. But with many of our capitals, banks and law firms facing an uncertain headcount ahead, even the most established companies will value agility and adaptability when it comes to real estate. Secondly, flexible working. Whilst on the face of it, this might seem more a cultural than a technological trend, it is technology that is facilitating the trend. Take mobile, for example. It has totally transformed our productivity on the go, and applications like Slack and Google Docs have reduced the frictions in collaborating remotely. So that's where we are today, but what of the future? The picture on the left is a photo of my desk in my first job as a currency trader in JP Morgan. We were 1,000 traders on one floor at 25 Bank Street, Canary Wharf. So if you multiply my 8 screens by 1,000, you get a lot of screens. The picture on the right is from a pilot that Citigroup ran earlier this year with Microsoft HoloLens to replicate all of the charts and the data that you see on the left in virtual reality. So in the future, perhaps those 8,000 screens won't tie all of those traders to their desks anymore. Thirdly, the gig economy. New technology platforms such as Upwork are enabling freelancing at a scale never possible before. Today, 30% of Americans and Europeans are working independently, challenging the notion of permanent employment. We are transitioning away from a culture of jobs to a culture of work, and from the notion of wages towards the notion of income. So in 5 years' time, if I choose to wear 3 professional hats throughout my working week, where will I spend my working days? And lastly, the on-demand economy. We are now used to getting what we want, when we want it, and only paying for the part that we consume. So what about on-demand real estate? One example of a company innovating in this space is Breather. Breather lets you unlock a workspace near you with your phone on demand for 30 minutes a pop. Think of it like an Uber for private workspace. SMEs are using it to give their employees the option to conveniently host meetings all around town. So rather cleverly, the square footage of these companies is adapting real time depending on the needs of their employees. In conclusion, occupier demand is becoming more complex, both because of the technology companies as occupiers themselves, but also because of the technologies that these tech startups are pioneering. Real estate has long been focused on the landlord with lengthy multi-year office spaces. However, that now sits quite at odds with the future of occupier demand. However, somewhat ironically, technology is both the cause of the change and potentially the solution for the change. The future of real estate will indeed involve a much higher number of transactions, each with a lower basket price, but technology makes that a viable business model. I started by saying that in the future, all companies will be technology companies, and perhaps that's true of the real estate sector too.
Great, that's right. Thank you very much. Well, there are quite a few things to follow there, not least in terms of looking at the sector, in terms of the tech sector's demand. So Toby, let's perhaps start with you and look at that. As Ria said, occupier demand is becoming more complex. Are you seeing demand rising in terms of from the tech sector at the moment?
I think it's certainly a case. It's a trend that's been with us for a while, that the technology sector is the real estate industry badges.